I want to turn to the book of Jonah and try to stand before you for a few minutes this morning, if the Lord would help us. I haven't actually preached out of the book of Jonah or attempted to preach in quite a while, but seems like it has been on my mind a little bit this past week. I think I read through it maybe a week ago. It was part of my daily Bible reading. And mine sort of circled back around to it last night a little bit. The Lord would help us to try to share a few thoughts about the book of Jonah. I trust that most all of you, if not all of you, have at some point read the entire book of Jonah. It's not very long. It's situated right there in the midst of all the minor prophets for the latter portion of the Old Testament. And I trust that you've read about the circumstances of this man named Jonah. Of course, everybody tends to associate the name Jonah with the great fish that swallowed him in the midst of the story. And I'm no different there. I know that I think about that also. But in thinking about Jonah and thinking about this book of Jonah and some of the things that we might notice and try to learn from this morning. One thing that I thought about, certainly about the life of Jonah, is that you cannot talk about the life of Jonah whatsoever without talking about God. Because God has been, throughout this book, all that we know about Jonah, God is right there next to him the whole way. And, you know, I thought about that, and I said, well, you know, I'd be my case as well. If you're going to try to talk about my life, if I was going to try to talk about my life and tell someone, I could not talk about my life now without talking about God and what he's done for me. And, you know, maybe if we'd all think about that, it would be the same case for all of us. About there's no part of my life where I can remember that it didn't feel like God was with me and helping me in some way. And I hope that's your case this morning. Our lives are not only created by God, and he's given us our lives, and he's given us our circumstances and our walk and conversation in life here and our station in life, wherever he's brought us to. But he walks along with us because he cares about us. That's the type of God that we have and we serve this morning. So if you're going to talk about Jonah, you're going to have to talk about God along through this story. First thing we find is that the Lord spoke to the man Jonah, and Jonah, we find out, was a preacher of the gospel. God spoke to the man Jonah, and he commanded him to arise, go to a city called Nineveh, that is a great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. First thing we find in the beginning of the story about this preacher man named Jonah is that all of a sudden, God calls him to a great work, and the man goes AWOL. He deserts his post, and he goes AWOL. And now, I got to say this too. I want to be very careful about how I think about Jonah and the things I say about Jonah, because I have the great expectation that I will meet him one day, and I hope that you have the same expectation that you're going to meet Jonah in heaven one day. And maybe we'll hear some of this story. Maybe we'll hear more about what he was thinking and what he was feeling here. But it certainly is clear that Jonah had a desire to not go to Nineveh. Jonah did not want to go preach to the Ninevites. And now, I don't quite understand how Jonah thought that he could escape from the presence of the Lord, but the Bible says that he did. It says that his whole purpose here in paying the fare and buying him a ticket, he bought a ticket to go down to Tarshish and try to escape from the presence of the Lord. I hope that none of you are ever trying to run away from the presence of the Lord at any time in your life. Because I would suggest this and share this with you. If you ever try that, you're not going to be successful. Amen. You're not going to run away from God. You're not going to find a place where you can hide from God and He can't see you or know where you're at. If God is dealing with any of you about anything in your life, you'll not escape God's presence. He cannot be hid from. You cannot run away. Now, Jonah thought that he could. He bought a ticket in the ship and tried to run away from God, and so maybe he wouldn't have to go preach. Well, I have to say this morning. I certainly understand the feeling of trepidation when it comes to my time to stand up and try to speak to God's people. It's with trembling knees and a stammering tongue, usually, that I try to speak to God's people, and any minister worth his salt will always feel that trepidation and that small amount of fear before standing before God's people, because the calling and the charge of doing so is such a great matter of such great importance. And none of us are worthy of it, and we all know that. We know that and readily accept that and don't claim to be. But it's an important matter, and God called Jonah to preach the gospel. And by the way, God never calls a man to preach the gospel that he doesn't equip to do so. Amen. Now, there's been some that has received a local calling to preach the gospel, and it didn't come from God, and it has not worked out very well, and it may have caused more problems than it did good. But whenever God calls a man, He always equips him to be able to preach the gospel. God knows what He's doing. He always does. But this man, Jonah, wanted to run from the Lord, but I wanted to ask myself, why? Why did Jonah want to run? Why did he not want to go and preach to the Ninevites? I really believe, and we're going to get there if we have time, if a voice can hold up, we'll get there over in chapter 4. Jonah actually says himself that he feels like he knew that if he goes and preaches to the Ninevites, that he knew God is going to be gracious and merciful to them, and he will end up sparing them. And I thought maybe, well, Jonah says, well, I'm just going to look like a fool. If I go and I preach and I cry that to the Ninevites that God's going to destroy you in 40 days except you repent, and then all of a sudden God doesn't do what he says, I'm going to look like a fool. I thought maybe Jonah felt like that. Well, I would understand that, I guess, but I'll tell you, here's another thing. Anybody God calls into the ministry, the first thing he usually does with them is he deals with their pride. And he humbles them, and he brings them down to the point where they're not concerned with being embarrassed anymore, okay? Because it's not about them. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about Jonah. It's not about me. It's not about any minister. It's about Christ and what he's done for you. If I get embarrassed in many times, and I have, I'm sure, and I probably will more, so be it. That's okay. It's all about Christ. But Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. And I must tell you, you cannot do it this morning. You know what David said about that subject? David wrote about fleeing from the Lord. He said in Psalms 139, verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." It's the same to the Lord. You can't even run in the middle of the darkest part of the night you could find and get in the darkest place you could ever find, because God's still looking at you just like it was daylight. The light in the darkness is the same to God. David says you cannot hide from God. You cannot flee from his presence. But here goes Jonah. He gets on the ship, and there he goes. And I want to show you a couple of things here along the way where God is actively involved in the life of Jonah. And throughout this whole episode here, look how involved God is. The very next thing that happened, Jonah thinks he's going to get on a ship and run away from God and go hide and be a derelict from his duty of preaching, but God's not going to have any part of that. The first thing God does is when he gets on the ship, is it says in verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. In other words, God prepared a storm. So here comes a big storm. And if you've read the story, you remember how that it was such a storm that they felt like the ship was going to be broken up. All of the experienced sailors and the mariners there, they all began to be scared and they cried and they were very scared that night and feared for their life. And where do you think our friend Jonah was at when this great storm was happening? Jonah was down in the bottom of the ship fast asleep. Jonah was so confident that he was going to escape from the Lord and his presence that Jonah felt comfortable enough to go down and fall asleep. And he's fast asleep while the other men are up there manning the buckets trying to bail the water out of the ship as the waves kept billowing and rolling over and the wind was howling and tearing the sails apart. Jonah's down there snoring away, all comfortable, all tucked in. Well, I'll tell you, the Lord's not going to have any of that. You know what sin will do for a person in their life? If we're not careful and we don't manage our lives and make sure that we eliminate every ounce of sin from our lives that is possible, you know what it will do? It's famous for doing this. It will give you a false sense of security. That's what sin does. You start with a little bit and you say, well, it's not going to hurt just to do this one thing one time. Yes, it will. Because one little sin always leads to another one. And the moment that you and I begin to accept that it's okay to have a little bit of sin in our life, just not very much of it, that will lead to a false sense of security. It will never work out well for you or I. And I think that's what was taking place with this man, Jonah. He's down there sleeping. The waves are crashing in. The boards are creaking in the ship. The sails are being torn to tatters, and Jonah's sleeping away. Well, the men are so scared, they come down to him, and they wake him up, and they cast lots to see who's causing this big problem. And they cast lots, and it fell upon Jonah, which was right. And so they asked him, and so Jonah finally had to admit. He said that, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. And it says, well, then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And they said, why hast thou done this? I like when they woke him up. The shipmaster went down there and he said, he woke up Jonah and he said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? What meanest thou? What do you mean sleeping in the middle of a storm like this? We're about to perish and here you are sleeping. Then they found out Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And then they began to fear the Lord exceedingly. And they asked Jonah, what is it that we're going to have to do? How can this be fixed? And Jonah said, he told them that he was fleeing from the Lord and said that the men tried even harder to begin to row through the storm and to try to correct the ship and to bring the ship under control. They tried even harder. But they could not for the sea, and it was tempestuous against them. So then they cried to the Lord and did not want to perish because of this man. And they said they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. And it says that the sea ceased from her raging. I believe Jonah knew the moment he woke up and realized that there's a great storm and a great tempest upon this ship, and that their lives were in peril and in danger, Jonah instantly recognized that it was because of him. It was because of his great sin and running from his duty to preach the gospel as God had commanded him. And so I believe Jonah was willing to sacrifice his life, and he said, "Toss me overboard." He said, "It's all because of me." And they did, and they put him overboard, and it said immediately that the sea had calmed down when they did that. And it said now in verse 17, God's still present. God hasn't gone anywhere. God created the storm. And by the way, God might create a storm in your life sometimes if we're ever disobedient about something. Maybe God is trying to speak to one of you this morning about a matter or an issue in your life. And I'll tell you, if you're trying to run from him, or if you're disobedient in any way, it's very possible God may bring a little storm in your life. So something good for us all to remember there. God was in the storm. He prepared it. Okay, the next thing it says, they tossed Jonah overboard. And you might think, well, that's going to be the end of Jonah's life. Now these men are safe and Jonah's perished. But not so. In verse 17, it said, now the Lord has prepared something else. He prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I believe this really happened. This is a true story. This really happened. And we know from later on, because Jesus says, tells us in Matthew's gospel, I know it says Jesus said that he was in the whale's belly. So we know the great fish was a whale that God had prepared to swallow up Jonah. And so that had happened. And it says in chapter 2, it said the very first thing that happened once the whale swallowed this man Jonah and Jonah went down into the belly of the whale, what do you think might happen? It says Jonah began to pray. This preacher, this disobedient preacher who's derelict from his duty and he had abandoned his post, the first thing that happens in the middle of a storm and now he's found himself in an even worse situation is he begins to pray. Well, beloved, I hope that you know this morning that God always knows what it takes to get your attention. He always understands what he needs to do to get your attention should he need to do so. And that was the case with Jonah. Jonah began to pray unto God out of the fish's belly. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done any fishing or not, but I did quite a bit growing up in Louisiana. I did a lot of fishing in my life, and I've had to clean a lot of fish. And just by doing so, I have seen what the inside of a fish's stomach looks like many, many times. And I can tell you, it's not a place that I would volunteer to go to. But Jonah's there, and I can only imagine how unpleasant this place might be. And Jonah begins to pray. I'll tell you, God is working on Jonah's heart and working on Jonah's mind, and he begins to pray here. And his conscience had bothered him to the point where he knew those men were innocent, and he said, "Toss me overboard," and they did it. Now he's in the fish's belly, and he's praying. And he said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." I suspect there's been a whole lot of God's little children through the years that by reason of their affliction, they begin to pray. You know, you and I ought to be praying all the time, whether we're experiencing affliction or blessings in our life. It shouldn't matter. We ought to be praying all the time. You know, we talked last Sunday about prayer and the necessity of prayer and how to pray believing and to pray without ceasing and to never become discouraged with our prayer life. But that just goes to say we should be praying at all times, good or bad, whatever's happening to us, we should be praying. I can't tell you, there's been a few times in my life where people, just because they knew that I was a minister, these were people that were typically non-church-going people, and they ran into some great trial and trouble in their life, and when they had known that I was a minister, a couple of them come to me and wanted to pray. And they wanted to pray, and they wanted to make deals with God, and they wanted to make vows with God. And if God would do this, they would begin to do all sorts of things. Well, I don't suggest that we live our lives that way. We need to be praying all the time. We need to stay in close fellowship with God. Affliction tends to do that, does it not? Affliction will make you pray. It'll cause you to want to pray. And it should. But we should be praying always. So if you read down through here, you read about Jonah. You read about his condition. He said, the waters are about me, even up to the soul. He said, the depth had closed around about me, and the seaweeds were wrapped about my head. And I rode in this fish's belly, and he took me down to the very bottoms of the mountains and the bottom of the sea and the ocean. And the earth and her bars was about me forever. And yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And so Jonah began to pray. And at the end of Jonah's prayer, and down in verse 9, Jonah comes to a great conclusion about the matter. Keep in mind now that he's still in the belly of the whale. He's down in the bottom of the sea. He's in the whale's belly. I can't imagine that it's very pleasant to be there. And Jonah is praying with all his heart. And he comes to this conclusion. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I'll tell you, beloved, it's one thing that I hope for you and I this morning is that I hope God never has to take any of us down to this level of affliction before we're willing to admit and to acknowledge that salvation is all of the Lord. It is all from God. He has done it all, and he will sustain it all, and he will accomplish his will and his counsels and his purposes. This poor man, Jonah, this poor preacher, gospel preacher, he's in the fish's belly, been there 3 days and three nights, and he's tired of being there, and he now realizes that he cannot run from God anymore. And you know what he has to admit after he goes through all that? Salvation's of the Lord. There's no telling how many of God's little children have had to have a Jonah experience in their life for God to get their attention. But I hope that's not the case for you and I. I hope that we do not go to that depth of trying to run from God and be disobedient with any time God is trying to speak to us about a matter in our lives. I hope we don't have to go through something like this. God prepared that great fish, and he says, salvation's of the Lord. And you know what? Jonah's ready to preach now. Jonah has gone through the fire, so to speak, with the Lord and his punishment, and God's got his attention, and now Jonah's ready to preach. He's ready. He's ready to obey, and he's ready to preach. And so, as you read here in the book of Jonah, and you find that the Lord is still near Jonah, and he's right next to him, and the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And now Jonah's ready to preach, and so he enters into the city of Nineveh. And God tells him again, you go preach unto that city. And so he entered into the city, and Jonah, being ready to preach, he begins to preach to the Ninevites, and he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He says, you have 40 days left, then God is going to punish you because your sins and your wickedness has come up before God. You have exactly 40 days to repent. And miracle of miracles, you read here in chapter 3, where it says that the entire city repented of their sins, beginning with the king himself. It says in verse 5 that the people of Nineveh believed God. What happened? Jonah came, Jonah preached one sermon. I'll tell you, one sermon, and it says that The people believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them, and the word came unto the king, and he got up off of his throne. He laid his robe from him. He covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat in the ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout the whole city, and says, nobody's going to eat or drink anything because we are mourning. We are fasting because of our sins. God's about to destroy us. And it said that everybody cried mightily unto God, and says, let every one of them turn from his evil way and from the violence that's in their hands. He says, because who can tell if God might turn and repent? And he may turn away his fierce anger that we perish not. One sermon. I'll tell you, don't try to tell me that God did not equip this man Jonah to preach the gospel, because here's the evidence of it. He preached one sermon and the whole city repented. I'm talking about a city of several hundred thousand people. It was a huge city. It's going to say at the end of the book here, it's going to talk about the city of Nineveh had at least 120,000 young people or children there that were not even old enough to discern their left hand from their right hand. Okay, so how many adults there? There's several hundred thousand people there. And it said the whole city repented because of one sermon. I'll tell you, I'd like to have heard that sermon. I wish I had some of Jonah's gift that he had to preach like that. I mean, what preacher wouldn't, right? What preacher wouldn't want to have the Spirit of God so powerful that he could preach one sermon and the whole city would turn from their wicked ways and repent and begin to seek God? But that's exactly what happened. They did that, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. He spared the whole city. Now, if you've ever heard of someone who used to believe in the predestination of all things, absoluters, in other words, people that are called, they believe in the absolute predestination of all things, that's a false doctrine, by the way. That is death in the pot. We have never believed anything like that, and I hope you never consider it either, because here's a perfect example that this wasn't predestinated, that God was going to destroy Nineveh. God changed his mind. He said, I repented. I was going to destroy them if they didn't change their ways. But he said the whole city repented. And God said, well, I changed my mind and I spared them. God is listening to the prayers and watching the actions of his people. Okay? God is tuned in to his people. And I believe God had a lot of people in this city. Believe it or not, that made Jonah angry. It made Jonah angry that God spared the city. Now, I got to be careful. I say I want to be careful what I think about Jonah here. But Jonah became angry because God spared the city. And it probably did make him look like a fool. There he was preaching. Says, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. And he says, now God has changed his mind. He's not going to do it. He's going to spare you. Jonah became very angry, and he began to pray to the Lord, and he told the Lord, Jonah said in his own words, he says, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish, because I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, and I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. I'm so ashamed of what I've done, and so ashamed of the fact that now you've saved this city. It says, it's no use for me to go preach anymore. He says, I'm ready for you to take my life. Of course, God is right there. He's never left him, and God is still there. And he asked Jonah, and he says, doest thou well to be angry? So said Jonah went out, went on the east side of the city. He made him a little hut or a little booth to go sit in. and made him a little shade over his head there, and he came to sit down and see what's going to happen to the city. And in verse 6, I notice this again. God is still there, and it says God prepared. God sent the storm. God made a storm, and he sent the storm. God prepared a fish. Now God's preparing something else. It says God prepared a gourd, and he made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. You see, what's happened so far is that God has been with this man Jonah throughout this whole ordeal. He's never left him. He's been with Jonah from the commandment to go preach. He's been right there with Jonah when the storm came. He's been right there with Jonah as he was in the fish's belly, in the whale's belly, down in that terrible place. Then he's been with Jonah as he went to preach. Now he's still here beside Jonah, and God is going to comfort Jonah as he's sitting on the side of the city waiting to see what's going to happen. God causes a gourd to grow up out of the ground with big leaves and provide shade for him. God is there in our comforts in life. He's always there. He's there in our afflictions in life. You're starting to see the pattern? God is always there. He's always in your life. He's always aware of what you're doing and what you're going through, no matter what it is. And so there's God. He causes the gourd to come up. But look what it says in the very next verse. God prepared something else. God prepared a worm. He prepared a worm. And the next morning, that little worm smote the gourd, and it withered, and it died. And it said when it came up, the sun did arise. And then God has prepared something else. I'm in verse chapter 4 and verse 8. Now God prepares a third thing here. He says he prepared a vehement east wind to begin to blow and to bring grief and upon Jonah. And it said that he fainted and he wished in himself to die. And he said, it's better for me to die than to live. And again, God is right there and he asked Jonah a question. And he said, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And Jonah answered, and he says, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And then the Lord is going to speak to him. And God is going to say to Jonah, he says, Jonah, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow. You didn't plant it. You didn't help it to grow. You didn't feed it. You didn't water it. You didn't do anything. This gourd just came up on its own. Well, it wasn't on its own. God prepared it. But it just came up, and Jonah, you didn't do anything about it, and it helped you, and it perished the next day. It was gone in a day. And here you are. You're sad for the gourd, and you're angry about the gourd dying. You didn't even have it very long, but you didn't do anything to help bring it about. And God asked him a question now, and God says, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000, that's 120,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. So you see where God has been dealing with this man Jonah throughout this whole book and throughout the whole account of this portion of Jonah's life. You know what I think God was doing? I think God is doing the same thing to Jonah that he's doing with you and I along through our life's walk and our conversation and our pathway in life. He's always there with us. I think that he's been preparing Jonah and preparing Jonah to be an even more effective preacher of the gospel. One thing about the Lord's ministers, if you happen to know very many of them, is that it's an unusual number of God's ministers seem to have gone through some very difficult times in life, and just various things have happened to them. But I don't think it's an accident. I think God is just like he has taken Jonah, and he has taken him through these circumstances, And he has built Jonah up. And I believe he's preparing Jonah for now how he can comfort people. You see, Jonah didn't care about the people. He was only at first cared about himself and about his own reputation. But now God is explaining to him. He says, look, there was hundreds of thousands of people there in that city. And he says, shouldn't I have spared them? God spared them because he's a merciful God. I think Jonah learned a lot. We don't know anything more beyond this about Jonah's life, but I have a great suspicion that Jonah has learned a lot from this experience and from the teaching that God has given him. I hope that you and I learn from our experiences in life. You know, I remember Paul saying this about learning from some of our experiences in life in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul wrote, he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Our God, Paul refers to him as the God of all comfort. I hope you never forget that. I hope every one of us always remember that the God that we serve, yes, he's a God of judgment. Yes, he's a God of righteousness. Yes, he's a chastening God when we deserve it. But he's also a God of all comfort. I hope we remember that this morning. You see how God tried to bring some comfort to Jonah, and how I believe God taught Jonah a great lesson here about the Ninevites and that great city and the people that God cared about, and he had compassion on them. He said, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How about that? You know, when we go through trouble and we receive comfort of God, you know what God expects us to be able to do afterwards? To be able to help comfort someone else. That's the whole teaching that Paul's talking about right here. He says he comforts us, and that by virtue of the comfort and the learning that we receive from God, we are to in turn turn and to help comfort others with this same comfort and to teach them. It sounds like you and I ought to be comforting people, does it not? Doesn't it sound like that we ought to have a desire to want to help one another and to want to comfort one another through life's difficulties? We certainly have plenty of difficulties in our life, but I just wanted to share that with you this morning about Jonah, and I hope you'll think about these things. I hope you'll think about Jonah's experience. And it's a quite noteworthy experience. It's easy to remember because of the great whale. But I also want you to always remember about Jonah, how many times it said along through that story, God prepared something. He prepared a storm. He did. He prepared a fish. Okay, then he prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm. Then he prepared the east wind. God is always preparing things because he's right next to you and I. He's always going through life's circumstances with us. He will never leave us, never desert us. God will never go AWOL from his post. He has promised us to do that, to not do it. He's always there. May we be more fervent in our service unto him. May our ears be more attuned. If God is speaking to you about some matter, if he's speaking to your heart about some matter, please don't try to run and try to flee from God and go try to go hide from him, hoping that it'll go away, because you're not going to hide from him, and God's going to know right where you're at the whole time, and it'll be much better if we all will encourage one another to be obedient unto God and do the best we can. I thank you very much for your very kind attention this morning. May God bless and keep you.